Welcome back, folks. Every Tuesday in the 11 o'clock segment, we feature folks that are involved in the NOLA Coalition, difference makers within our city. They, all the cliches, they're working in the trenches. They're doing great work. They're making a difference for us, making our city a lot better as well in so many different ways. And today's no different. We're joined by Kai Werder, Deputy Director of the Center for Restorative Approaches. Kai, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So, Kai, if you would, tell us a little bit about the Center for Restorative Approaches.
Yeah, so we are a local nonprofit. We've been around since 2008. Our CEO and founder, Troy Bechet, started the organization really to create an alternative to punitive response, primarily in our school system, right? And so our work started off really heavily in the school system here in Orleans Parish, working with school partners to help reduce their suspension and expulsion rates by offering something different. So we support young people through a process called Restorative Justice Circle, in which we bring together people who have been in a conflict that's escalating, where maybe harm has occurred, and we help them talk through what's happened, who all has been affected and how, and what they need to prevent it from happening again and to repair from the harm that has occurred. And so we've provided over 1,400 interventions over our course of existence, and 93% to 96% of them successfully reach agreement. And so that amount of time, we're having people who walk away from our processes feeling like their conflict has been resolved.
Anytime you have a success rate greater than 90%, it truly is a success. This is a lot about compelling people to sit down and communicate and look at each other in the eye and talk through a problem, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we recognize that, you know, sometimes people aren't ready to do that right away. And so our facilitators are trained to meet with participants one-on-one first to help them really get ready for that group conversation, right? Because talking about conflict is scary and can be really hard for a lot of people, especially when we have grown up in a society that is really punitive. And, you know, in Louisiana being the carceral capital of the world, a lot of people live in fear of talking about conflict because they're afraid that they're going to get punished or they're afraid that they're going to be disposed of or isolated. And so restorative approaches helps people stay connected through conflict. Even if that means they're not going to remain in relationship, how can they find a way to coexist maybe in the same school or in the same organization or community, right, while preventing violence from happening again?
Kai, is it really, though, about carceral influences, or is it really about stepping back and not letting your ego, yourself, stand in the way of dealing with this conflict and engaging in conflict resolution techniques? I mean, you know, a lot of this is stuff that you develop in the development of your moral compass at home in many respects.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I would
and
say
you
that it's both.
You emulate your parents and their ability to resolve conflict, whether it's between the spouses or the significant other.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you're getting right at it, right? Like, we learn through modeling, especially as young people. We find that, so we do training on restorative approaches as well. So we train people to be able to use these skills. And we find that young people are much quicker to pick up the process than adults because they don't have, like you're saying, all that decades worth of, you know, lessons on dealing with conflict in often maladaptive ways or in ways that escalate it instead of de-escalate it, right? And so young people, when they learn these skills, can then bring them into their lives going forward, right? And it boosts their confidence and is really about that ego work, like you're saying, right? A lot of conflict is actually our own inner work in how we then can carry that into our relationships.
Well, we in society today, and excuse my language, have tended to bastardize the meaning of respect. And respect is a two-way street. It's not a one-way gig, right?
Yeah, respect actually comes up as, you know, when we ask people what's important to them in Circle, respect comes up a lot of times, right? Like, people will often be in conflict maybe because they felt disrespected. And so what's important when you're talking about respect as it relates to conflict is understanding what respect looks like for each person, right? So, like, you might bring together, you know, a teacher and a student in a school who have been having tension in the classroom, and the teacher is like, yeah, the student isn't respecting my classroom, and the student maybe is feeling like they don't have a space to express themselves, right? So how can you meet both of those needs by coming up with agreements that can address those concerns, right? So when you're talking about respect, I think it's really important to get specific. What does it actually look like for you to feel respected, you know, as an educator? What does it look like for a student to feel respected, you know, showing up to class and engaging in the classwork, right? And so we, like, have this space where people can communicate more clearly with one another, instead of jumping to conclusions or making assumptions, which often can make a conflict worse.
I saw this approach for the first time in Missouri many, many years ago, decades ago, actually, in our juvenile reformation study that we were doing, and have been a big advocate of it. What was interesting to me as I watched the process unfold in the circle, so to speak, as you describe it, is what kids feared. And what was interesting also is they didn't fear the consequence. They feared more of their individual self in the way they were viewed by their peers. And I'm wondering if y'all have had a similar experience.
Absolutely. We use a lot of role plays when we're practicing these skills in our trainings, and one of our role plays actually touches just on that, where, you know, a student gets accidentally bumped to the ground. It was, you know, another student was looking down, wasn't paying attention. They get bumped, someone falls to the ground, and then the student who falls starts a fight because they felt embarrassed, right, by their peers. You know, it was a busy hallway, their peers saw them fall down, and they felt embarrassed by that, right? And so that's about, how are your peers viewing you, and how do you need to kind of emulate something different? Again, coming back to respect, how do you need to show that you command respect, right, from your peers? So there's all of these social dynamics at play, especially with young people, that really play into how they are approaching conflict and why they're approaching conflict in the ways that they are, right? And so, a lot of it is about that perception. And because when you're young and you're in a contained social environment like a school, how you're perceived socially is really important, right? There's a lot of weight in that, because it impacts how people treat you and kind of how you're able to relate to one another.
Yep. So how many schools are y'all are very proactive in the schools, and how many schools have actually embraced the program?
Yeah, so we have our program is going into its third year right now, called the Violence and Eruption Program. And that is funded by the City Health Department through its violence prevention work. And so it's available to any school in Orleans Parish, can send us a referral of a conflict that either has already escalated to the point of physical violence, or maybe the school is anticipating that something could escalate to that point, right? And so they want to prevent it from getting there. And so they can send us a referral. We'll send out a facilitator, typically within one or two business days, to the school to begin working with the students. Sometimes we'll bring in parents into the process as support people, or social workers or guidance counselors, deans, right? Whoever needs to be there to have input in the resolution process. And then we will convene a circle, you know, within a couple of weeks. And so that is available to any school in Orleans Parish, grades 6 through 12, and it comes at no cost to the school because the program is funded through the health department. And so we've worked with a lot of schools over the past couple of years, and we hope to really expand that. We have three partnerships where we have facilitators actually embedded at the schools. So the facilitators are there for 8 hours a week at three schools in Orleans Parish, really kind of bringing this work and integrating it into the fabric of their school environment. And we see those schools really getting ahead of the conflicts, right? They are, because we've got a facilitator on site, they're really able to be more preventative in how they're approaching conflict between their students.
It was interesting, and I don't know if it's this, the same experience in Orleans now. Now I'm speaking back probably 10, 15 years ago. We had more suspensions out of middle school than we had out of high school, and I'm curious whether or not that, you know, if you're aware that they had a similar trend in Orleans and if that's still the case.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a current track on the suspension rates per se, but based on like middle school versus high school. But I will say we do get a substantial amount of referrals from middle schools, right? And so yeah, it really is about trying to get in there and get in that preventative model before students are in active conflict so that they can stay in their school environment, so they can keep learning, right, and stay connected to the resources that that they need within their school system. So we have seen, you know, when we do this embedded work or when we're working more holistically with a school and doing, you know, our trainings to their staff and all of that, which we call a whole school implementation model, we've seen suspension rates drop as much as 60%, right? And so we can see how bringing this model and really integrating it into the policies and the procedures of the school can really create change over time, right? And really empower the school leaders to embrace alternative approaches than suspensions or expulsions.
Have y'all had, and I'm sure you have, where students themselves, as opposed to a referral by administration, student themselves reach out and say, hey, we need some help. Can y'all help us?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. I would say at the schools where we are embedded and we have a facilitator on site and the students start to get to know, like, oh, facilitator Mr. J is here, and you know, they get to know his face, they get to know him as a person, and then we do see students saying, hey, we could actually use a conversation, like, oh, hey, I could use this right here right now in the, you know, in the lunchroom. And we also see students who go through our training be able to do that themselves, right, when they're in conflict, you know, when they have. We just launched our very first youth advisory board in May, and so we've got a group of 12 students who now are trained in restorative justice and will be bringing this to their peers, to their community, through a series of projects that they'll design. And so we see that when young people are given the tools, they really engage with them, with their peers, and they are more proactive in how they talk about conflict and really even just tensions or concerns or disagreements they have with their peers before it gets to the point of conflict.
What do y'all hear most often post-intervention, post-conversation, however you want to refer to it, from the kids themselves?
Yeah, so, you know, we've often heard, I don't feel like I have to look over my shoulder anymore. I feel safer going to school. You know, I feel more connected to my school environment. We hear from students that they loved being in circle. It gave them a chance to express their feelings, that they felt heard and listened to, and they felt like they were understood, right? And so we see those responses even, you know, sometimes the resolution is that, you know, kids who were friends and then got into a fight and weren't friends anymore are able to reunite and like rekindle their friendship and relationship, right? And sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes a conflict happens and the resolution is just figuring out how to coexist. But we see those same results and responses from students you know, whether their agreements are, you know, full repair for the relationship or just repair just enough to be able to, you know, kind of keep the peace and not have the conflict pop off again.
Does a lot of this or does your work transcend back to the familial unit in some cases?
You know that, yeah, absolutely. We've actually had a handful of referrals since we started this program, our VIP program, that were conflicts between parents or grandparents that had been passed down. And the kids were like, yeah, I don't even know why I was fighting her. I just know that my family has a beef with her family, right? And so we, in those cases, have brought in the parents, right? And in some really powerful circles where there were, you know, between 15 to 25 participants, because we brought in parents and aunties and uncles into the process, that the parents are able to, you know, and those older generations are able to express themselves and to come to, like, let that kind of go, right? Let that old conflict fade out and to find a path forward, right? We also see often that parents can be role models in conflict. We've seen parents come together and, you know, they come to the circle. They don't even know who the other kids that are involved. And then they meet the other parents like, oh, I know you, right? I know you. And they model resolution for their young people, which is a really beautiful process to see.
Well, congratulations on the outcome thus far under this grant program. You know, as I said before, I was exposed to this approach many, many years ago. I think it works. Hopefully more schools embrace this. We have become such a disconnected society these days. More often than not because of that nasty thing they call a cell phone, where we can't figure out how to communicate with people anymore. And it's really a sad commentary, right? I mean, one piece of instrumentality has kind of disrupted the whole way that we socially interact, and we're feeling, I think, a lot of the pains as a result of that, not only that, but a lot of other things. But keep up the great work, and so glad that you joined us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on and to talk about our work. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Kai Werder, Deputy Director of the Center for Restorative Approaches. We'll be right back, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.